Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Wolves Fancast. Joining me, Rich Hobbs, this evening, I've got Tom and Dean. We're going to be talking all things Arsenal, bit of an injury update, and maybe a couple of quiz questions at the end. Who knows? Fellas, it's Thursday. We nearly made it to the weekend. Have we all enjoyed the football last couple of days? Because now, I know Wolves aren't in Europe, and we ain't going to make Europe this season. But I've loved the last couple of days of the Champions League fixtures.
Yeah, it kind of makes it better to watch that Wolves aren't involved. You can just enjoy the football. I decided to watch the Arsenal game yesterday. Do a bit of scouting, you know, because I know I was on the pod.
Yeah, you're a prepared man like that.
That's the real reason. Yeah. Then obviously enjoyed Fiorentina going through this evening because I kind of keep an eye on those as well. But I was hoping to be able to drop a good evening this morning, but it looks like this evening, but it looks like Arsenal, Villa, are going to go through if they haven't already because the penalty shoots at the minute. But yeah, I've enjoyed it. It's been a good couple of days watching some football.
Yeah, I liked it as well. When I went to go and watch it with some of my mates in a like a sports bar, and it had both games on across two TVs.
That's a big fan of that.
Living the dream.
Yeah, I was going to say the opportunity to, you know, particularly for those quarterfinals and ones in particular, because semifinals are usually on separate days, aren't they? This is like the perfect round for me, because the semifinal, it's almost too much pressure, and it gets a bit edgy towards the end. And yeah, I guess so, over sort of two legs. I mean, I watched the Man City Real Madrid, and you know, it was weird watching a penalty shootout and having I had zero emotional interest in what was going to happen. If Man City went through, cool, whatever. If it was, you know, Real Madrid, cool, whatever. So sort of seeing some of those, well, Bernardo Silva's genuinely awful penalty, that was just fun.
It's such a strange penalty, though, because if the keeper dives, it's a great pen. But it's just one of those, because you dink them down the middle, you just look so silly when they don't happen.
Yeah, when I was listening to the Football Rambles reaction to it on my way to work this morning, so it said, you can only really hit a penalty like that if you've got a back catalogue of knocking it in either corner, and it just, you know, trying to disguise it. And he just didn't. He just stroke. And I guess it's rather fortunate, because there was like another penalty at the weekend, was it? I can't remember who was playing, so forgive me, listeners. Other play, you know, in the last minute, just tried to dink it down the middle. It barely made it towards the goal in the end. Yeah. So, yeah. But let's talk Wolves, and, you know, in particular, from the Champions League fixtures on Tuesday night, of PSG going through against Barcelona and really kind of turning that tie around. And one of the main kind of figureheads within it was a little boy called Vitinha. We hardly knew ye. And it caused, obviously, because he had a season on loan at Wolves, and it was quite a divisive spell. I don't think it helped because of COVID and the team being a bit disjointed anyway, but there was a lot of discourse online in terms of, you know, should we have spent the money on him? Was it the right or the wrong thing for the club to do? And it's easy to look through all of this, you know, in hindsight. But Dean, I'll start with you in terms of, I guess, what you thought of Vitinha when he played for Wolves, and were the club right, I guess, at the time to do it?
I think with Vitinha, he was a Moutinho regen. Like he with a dribbling ability, but that was the summer where we got into the Europa the year before, and it was all the FFP, the UEFA FFP have kicked in, and our net spend that summer was only £5 million, which you include some of that was a £6 million loan fee for Trincao. In hindsight, you'd say yes, but at the same time, if you look at Vitinha and Ait Nouri, and if we could have only signed one of them based on the performances they gave during their loan spells, which Vitinha's, you can argue some of that is Nuno's fault for not trusting him in the games he did play. He did look good. But then if it was a choice from the two, you'd pick Ait Nouri every single time. It just, hindsight is wonderful, but that doesn't give Fosun a pass for not doing it, because the reason we couldn't do both is because we'd spent previously. So it's one big conundrum that's really, there's no real straight answer. But I think if I had to pick between Aitnori and Vitinha, I would have picked Aitnori. That's a good way of saying, yeah, I think they were probably right to not do it, but the reasons they couldn't do it is their own fault.
Yes. Yeah. Very much so. Tom, how about you? Because obviously he's had a pretty solid career. You know, he did fantastic at Porto. He earned a big money move to PSG, and he's not really done an awful lot up until fairly recently, it's felt like. And he kind of really announced himself this week at PSG.
Yeah, definitely. Going back to like his time at Wolves, I think it depends on, as we mentioned earlier, Nuno actually didn't really play him that much. And I'm pretty sure they was asking for, was it like 20 million or something like that?
I think
that,
it was money. 20 million euros or 60. The figure I saw online was, I think it was 16 million pounds for the option, which,
At that time, you look at how much he played. Yeah, when he played, he was good. And like, I thought we should have signed him. And, you know, people might think, oh, I'm just saying that because of what he's doing now. But probably at that time, he probably wasn't ready to take that gamble on him. Because he wasn't a starter every week, was he? You know, he'd come in now and again. Similar to what Tommy Doyle is now, I'd say. Mm. Like, you know, he's in and out of the squad, but he's like still involved. But I think at that time, the club probably made the right decision not to buy him, because he wasn't, you'd rather spend 16 million on someone who's going to play him week in, week out and play 90 minutes every week.
Yeah. And I think, you know, he played 19 league, you know, he featured in, you know, just over, well, no, exactly half our league games. And, you know, he had sort of flittering spells, and he was clearly a player who was like adapting to the league.
Yeah.
You know, he wasn't the finished article. And I remember, you know, right at the second half of that season, you know, obviously we were poor, but he was someone who did kind of have those moments of brilliance and like that bit of inspiration. And I guess it's almost like it could have gone either way. And it didn't help because we knew Nuno was leaving at the end of that season. So he wasn't going to have the same continuity. And I think they made that judgment between Aitnori and Vitinha.
It's also the like the Angers as well. Angers were open to negotiating the Aitnori fee. That was meant to be 20. We reduced it down to the 10 with the sell-on, whereas Porto was even, it was 20 or nothing.
Yeah. So, and you know, I guess from the, you know, lovely accountancy books, you know, because we've paid them that money, haven't we now? We've basically paid off the clause, I believe. Which was, I think, about 8 to 10 million anyway, but it's at least knocked it down the line.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can't. It's always easy to kind of go for the ifs and buts. I'd have quite liked us to sign him, or have him on loan for another season and just kind of test it out. But, you know, fair play, because he's, you know, he went back to Porto, played in the majority of games there, you know, gets moved to PSG, whether that's under, you know, certain agents' influences or whatever, but he has kind of quietly stepped up again. You know, he played, you know, 30 odd times in the league for PSG last season, and, you know, his returns this season have stepped up again. He's only 24, so there's a real opportunity for him to kind of be the next generation of, you know, big Portuguese players, you'd like to think. So, yeah, it's an interesting one. I'm curious to see where his kind of career takes him. And in terms of other Portuguese players, and, you know, similar to Chris Armstrong back in 1995, guys, Pedro Neto is back on the grass.
He's got a beautiful smile, hasn't he?
It's just that little photo shoot. Just, oh, so happy. He looked so happy, didn't he?
Just makes me want to start doing loads of lunges and squats, though, looking at those quads.
I know. He's not trained for 6 weeks, Dean.
But you wouldn't even have Neto as like kind of a big muscular player, but then all the players you see them, like the quads are just so kind of overdeveloped to a degree. Like, And then I imagine what the pictures of me are going to look like in like kind of 5 weeks' time. There it goes.
Okay, yeah, this is going to be interesting, isn't it? But I mean, whether we actually, I'm not quite sure if he's actually going to play much this season. I know they talked a couple of weeks ago that, oh, he's probably going to be fit for like the last three games. Do you risk him or?
I was on the preview I forgot the last time I was on. I kind of said there'll be conversations going on between Neto and Martinez at Portugal. And if he says, look, if you're fit, you'll play. I'll call you up to the Euros. If he kind of says, look, I need to see you fit and firing, then Neto will be chomping at the bit to get at least a game or two in just to show that he's back with the Euros on the cards.
I definitely agree with that. I think that's 100% going to be in his mind. As well, because obviously how injury prone he is, you don't want to take someone with that record over to the Euros. So he realistically, he's had a brilliant season, but he's still got to prove himself, really, because of his own record.
You know, it's just two kind of decent spells out he's had with similar injuries as well. And, you know, just to prove for two, three games that you're up to 100% match fitness, because there is, is it 8 weeks until the Euros or something mad?
It's something crazy.
It's not long. It's not long. So he's not going to have, you know, he's already missed a month or whatever with Wolves, to then miss effectively another month, then not play, you know, you might play warm-up friendlies, but you know, you're talking two games in a quarter of a year at that rate.
Yeah,
which is, you know, and we've seen from Pedro Neto, and it stands testament, I guess, that he is someone who's out for a bit of a while. He does need a couple of games to kind of get him up to full strength, and that's understandable. But I'd love to see him back, not because I think he's going to have much of an impact in terms of Wolves in general, but just for his own sort of personal, you know, in terms of looking ahead for the Euros as much as anything else.
You also look at who two of the last three games are, City and Liverpool. So all eyes are going to be on those games. So he's going to want to push to kind of be on them for more than one Euro
window.
Reason.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah. And it's understandable, isn't it? And again, he's someone who, like, he's still got opportunities in the future, but it's one less, isn't it? I'm not saying he's someone who's necessarily eyeing a move away or anything like that, but I think we're all kind of accepting as Wolves fans that we're going to sell someone in the summer for a decent amount of money, hopefully. And the feeling that I'm kind of getting is that out of everyone, we're most accepting that it's Pedro Neto because of the injuries and because he's been here a bit longer, and the margin of the sale. But actually, if he gets himself fit, he plays in the Euros, he has a good tournament, you know, Fosun will be, and Matt Hobbs will be licking their lips, what they can kind of charge, a club for him as well. So it might be a win-win, just to make sure that, you know, obviously he ain't going to be fit for the weekend and he won't be fit for Bournemouth midweek either. But if he's able, you know, at least get on the bench next weekend, I think that'll be really positive for Wolves.
Yeah, 100%. It's definitely, this is the way they're going to look at it, is getting fit. He's going to want to come back as well. It seems the character, he just wants to play football. So
yeah, I mean, it's similar with kind of Cunha, isn't it? And yeah. I think actually the other big thing for me is because we're so short on senior players in the squad. One of the reasons why they got injured is because they all having to carry the workload for a significant amount of time. So when one of them was injured, it meant the other two were having to pick up the slack, and then two of them injured and it was just all on one. So yeah, you're going to get those injuries. So actually having Neto back, you know, if he's able to cover Hwang, who's a couple of weeks ahead of him, but Hwang's able to play 60 minutes, 70 minutes, then you can be on Pedro Neto to build up his recovery whilst safeguarding Hwang as well. So yeah,
100%.
It's going to be tricky. The other news that was announced today was the Premier League / FA have announced their new rules or guidelines for the FA Cup next season. I guess the first big one is that there's going to be no more replays from the first round proper. So effectively, when the Football League clubs enter the competition, there's a couple of ones in terms of additional funding down the league as well. But I guess the replays one is a really big shift. And yeah. I know, I feel like whenever kind of things happen in football or there's a law change or something like that, your immediate reaction is to kind of get a bit apprehensive to it. And I saw a tweet earlier from Sammy James, who does the Fulhamish podcast, who also on the Audi network, as a small tangential link, and he kind of said that this season there are 13 replays in the third and fourth round. None of them were, you know, the big money spinners. It wasn't like they were getting, you know, your top six away. So
those games are never going to happen. If you get a Premier League club against a really lower league club, I reckon there's minimal of those that ever happened over the years. But even for if you're a non-league club and you get a low-end championship or a League One club and you manage to take them to a replay, even without Premier League involvement, those gate receipts are massive. Mm. And it's people just think Big Six, and let the Big Six opt out if they want. If they're going to moan about all the matches they play, but yet Liverpool, classic example, Klopp's always moaned, but he's always played his full strength team. You've got a big squad, use it. You don't trust it. You want to moan about the fixture list instead. Then the other bullet point that wound me up was the games played on a weekend.
Yeah.
But it's Friday to Wednesday.
Yes. Yes.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. We've had a comment again. I saw something similar online, and Danny of Baltimore Wolves has commented, big thanks as always for people who are tuning in. Should at least do like the German Cup Polkall, and make it so all games up to a certain round are played at the lower league rank side to give them a better chance, which I'd get on board with, because you also got to remember you get money for each round you get through as well.
Yes, Spain does something similar as well. They draw the big clubs against the lower clubs, and Barcelona was away at kind of some kind of, I think it was third tier or something like that, just to kind of get that. It's the stuff that comes with it. The big clubs bring fans, which then brings spends to the city, spends to the club. Like, it's football. Like, they're thinking about the TV again. They're not thinking about all the people that are behind the TV. And
yeah.
It's why we love the FA Cup, isn't it? Because there's always the underdog story, and like, look at like Maidenstone this season, for example. Like they're probably set up for years now, just after a FA Cup run.
Did one of theirs go to a replay? One of Maidenstone's?
Was it Ipswich, or was that?
No, they got through to Ipswich, and then they were a bit disgruntled they're a bit disheartened that in the next round, I can't remember who they got now.
Beat them.
Yeah, and I think they were kind of a bit like, because they didn't get that big team. Yeah. And I guess it's like that proportional thing that there's a big difference between a Maidstone getting a championship Premier League team away from home than a League One team necessarily. Like, just the absolute scale difference in terms of what their budgets and finances are. And don't get me wrong, the Premier League is so huge compared to a League One side. But comparing even like a half-decent League One side, because there's quite a lot of good teams in that division now, to someone who are in, you know, Tier 6, effectively, of the footballing pyramid, it's massive, so I can understand it, but you'd also want to make sure you've got the competitive advantage of which playing at home will most likely give you. And, you know, penalties aren't necessarily a lottery, but, you know, you're reducing fixtures. We play this competition in the middle of winter, so you're always risking, you know, pitch issues and you know, getting the game not postponed or anything like that as well. So I can see the logic of it. Whether how much it would do for those lower league sides, and I guess sort of, you know, I was trying to think of how many I could think of that have gone to a replay, and I could, off the top of my head, the only one I could think of was about 20 years ago when I think Man United drew at Exeter in a third round, and they went to Old Trafford and subsequently pumped them. I mean, that's not to say there hasn't been any others like that in 20 years, but I think it probably happens more rarely than you think.
You could do that. You could do it, but even like bring it in the third round where the Prem clubs came in. Like, why has it got to be the first round? Like, it, or do when the big clubs come in, they're guaranteed to be away. Look at the seeding, like Danny says, like something like that. Where I get that you invest in the 33 million. That's great. That is great. But it's the exposure that these clubs bring as well. Like, you might like Wolves, for example. We have a lot of overseas fans. I know we have quite a Scandinavian one, and we have a lot of American fans. But say, for example, Kidderminster, it's down the road. They have a big FA Cup run. The next time some of these fans come over to visit Wolves, they'll look, okay, so is there a kiddie game as well? Let me go and do that. It's that it's that passive secondary kind of exposure that helps.
Yeah. No, definitely. I think it's going to be really interesting to sort of see how it plays out. I mean, realistically, and this is something I guess I talked about the other week in terms of like financial fair play stuff, it's not going to inevitably help the lower clubs, realistically. And I think in its heart, the idea is that it will. All it will basically mean is that Liverpool will be slightly less tired.
Yeah.
And you know, you might catch them one every four seasons where they get taken to penalties against, you know, Tranmere or whoever.
Yeah.
But, and you'll kind of go, oh, that wonderful night where we nearly beat them. I was going to say, Danny's popped up saying that Kiddie versus West Ham game a year or two ago was used a lot in the States. So
that kind of stuff. But Wolves had that replay with Liverpool last year.
Yeah. Like, yeah. And it does happen. And, you know, to be fair, it's still valuable for, you know, Premier League clubs and championships. Just, you know, gate receipts mean a lot more below you go down. Looking ahead to the weekend, fellas, in terms of Wolves news, I think, you know, we're optimistic. Quang's nearing full fitness. Obviously, he had a cameo against Forest. Looked good. For someone who usually struggles, he looked good, didn't he?
Yeah.
Looked energetic. I think he's another one who's going to be looking to finish the season on a high. I read earlier that it's the first time we've had two goal scorers in the Premier League who have got over 10 goals from him and Cunha, which is insane. So I reckon they might be having like a little bit of a race so you can get the highest goals. Well, I hope they are anyway.
That blew my head because I thought Raul and Jota had done that, but they didn't.
Yeah.
But they did, like with Huang as well, like on the weekend, he gave us that vertical threat, which we were missing the whole game, just the, being able to run in behind and just do the hard yards, which is what you're guaranteed to get that from him. Yes, his touch might be a bit off sometimes, but you're guaranteed to get that effort and he'll do his best for the team, for the system.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd really like him to be playing if we can do. I just think against this Arsenal side, who, you know, they've lost two games on the bounce now, league's in jeopardy, out of the Champions League. Of all games to make them second guess themselves, you want someone like Quang just to stretch. And you know, obviously he scored a goal a couple of years ago where he literally did just that against them as well. And I see other main player who we'd like to see come back is Ait Nouri as well.
Yeah.
We're near enough, slowly but surely, getting back to full strength. I think Ait Nouri would be a massive, massive player, especially like the Forest game. To be fair, we all know Ait Nouri's quality, but I thought like Hugo Bueno or Totti like might fill in, and I thought, you know, like they'll do a decent job, but it made me realise how much Ait Nouri actually brings into the team, because he's not just a left back, like he's everywhere on the pitch pretty much.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I know we talked a few weeks ago, so I said, oh yeah, he almost commands the whole side of the pitch. It's not even he just covers the left flank.
No. Yeah. He comes drifting in, and you looked at the games, the Champions League teams that we've just been talking about, like he would show what he can do in any of those teams. And I know he's been rumoured with City and stuff, but if you have City where you have him playing City where Guardiola was, and Guardiola can go inside one and they play Ryan at left back, and he can just go wandering off into centre mid and just create havoc because he's so press resistant and can just run past players. Like Gary O'Neill, although he kind of says that Ryan's mad and he talks about he's doing these Maradona runs and things like that, though that does make him so integral to the way we want to play with the transition and just breaking through and just breaking lines. And he can do that. Him and Cunha there in that left wing. It's just, for as a defender, you just shit yourself because they can both just take it round you in the blink of an eye and they're gone.
Yeah. I mean, he's so fundamental for dragging us up the pitch. And, you know, it's that combination, isn't it, of having someone like Cunha, who showed it against Forest, having someone like Quang, who kind of does it off the ball more than on the ball, having someone like Pedro Neto as well, who can drive you forward, and then, you know, a slightly further back player in terms of Ait Nouri, just having the sheer kind of confidence, self-belief and skill to be able to do it as well. It's phenomenally, you know, include Semedo in that in terms of, you know, his ability to kind of ghost past, you know, a player and kind of open up the pitch a little bit more. He might not have quite the same dynamism to his play. But, you know, I feel like I was trying to think in terms of sort of starting lineup for Wolves. And, you know, if you look at, you know, our lineup last week against Forest, I mean, you've got to be sort of hoping Ait Nouri comes in and maybe Hwang as well. Would you consider maybe keeping Doherty on that left wing back position and dropping one of those centre midfielders and Sarabia for Hwang and Ait Nouri, and keeping Ait Nouri when he played a couple of weeks ago in sort of that right wing position? And, you know,
I think Doherty against Saka.
Yeah. True, that is true. Yes, I'm thinking more us than them.
Yeah.
I'll be brutally honest.
you want two Ait Nouris because it'd be, you could have him in the front line as well, it'd be perfect. But I think with the fact that you'd want go, I think if he comes in, he'll come in for Doc and he'll go for that team, but with Doc, and he won't. Then what he'll do, they'll just change Cunha and Hwang again at the 60 minute mark, like they did against Forest. To manage Hwang back in, but even just by changing Ait Nouri for Doc, that team looks completely different on paper because you could see how different we will play just having a change of one player, which shows how important he is. But I think he will still stick with the three in the middle because Gomez can then do a job on either Gomez can do a job on Rice because Rice is the one that sits, and then Lamina can keep an eye on Odegaard, like he was trying to do with Gibbs White, or he shall not be named. And then I think that's probably the way he'll go. That's probably what I'd do anyway.
Yeah. I think it's, there's a few different ways they can go about it. I mean, my only apprehension about kind of keeping the three midfielders is, I think two of them work really well together, and you can pick any two. I just think there's something about it where I don't think we've kind of quite seen the best of, you know, the likes of Tommy Doyle. I don't know whether it's a space thing, a game situation either. But you know, when you look at that Arsenal team at the moment, and they've had a couple of poor results, there's so much quality, and particularly that midfield, and, you know, having someone like Declan Rice at the base of it, Odegaard always getting on the ball, and, you know, he's got his flaws and he's got his critics, but I do really like Kai Havertz, and I don't know why. He just seems to be so, elusive.
Like, it's German efficiency. He's just a very astute footballer.
Yeah. He's like a less mad version of Thomas Muller.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't, you know, what's his position? I don't quite know.
Yeah.
But, he's clearly got something about him.
Not necessarily skillful. He pops up in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. And it's a very annoying kind of trick to have. I mean, what are your kind of thoughts on Arsenal at the moment? Because as mentioned, you know, they've been going full steam ahead recently, but the last week has probably, you know, really knocked the wind out of their sails.
Football cliche, Claxon, Tom, go on.
I think, right, the best time to play them.
Yeah.
Right. Best time to play them is now, because I've lost two on the bounce. The wheels look to be falling off. If, as we've mentioned, if Aitnori and Huang are back in, I'd be confident going into it, especially at Molineux. Now, I know we do need to get back to winning ways. So I think it's a huge game. But the way they was playing, I mean, especially against Bayern, I know Bayern are absolutely excellent. But, like, I was talking to one of my mates who's an Arsenal fan, and I was saying, like, I just don't get, how are you going to score? Like, they didn't look, to me, they didn't look like scoring. Like, I know they've got so much talent and whatnot, but, like, it was just so stupid decisions. Like, it's kind of like some of the players have, like, lost belief. Like, for example, that the Ben White chance. Last minute of the game, you've been fouled, edge of the box. I thought, someone might whip this in, top bins here. We're going for extra time. And he's played it short into Ben White. It's like a panic, I think, at the minute. But football's football, and it depends who turns up on the day, really.
Yeah. I mean, I there is part of me which is a bit apprehensive that, you know, they're going to see Wolves as, you know, mid-table fodder, so to speak, and come out wanting to lick their wounds and absolutely, you know, hammer down on us. And I was looking back at the last time we played them back in December, because I watched the highlights before we came on, guys, and they basically pummeled us for 80 odd minutes before Kuna scores a worldie and gave a lot of us a lot of hope out of nowhere. But Arsenal that day could and probably should have sort of knocked four or five past us.
Yeah, 100%. I think to throw another cliche out there, it's the further the game goes 0-0, the more confident I will get. If we keep it tight the first 20 minutes, then I think they're going to want to have a confidence boost early, because they've come off these results, they're coming off. And I don't know what Arteta's going to do, like changes wise. I don't know if Trossard will start, because Martinelli started yesterday. I don't know if Havertz will go up top and he'll bring another midfielder in rather than Jesus, because he didn't look very good yesterday at all. But it'd be interesting to see kind of what they do for the team wise. But yeah, I think it's a funny time to play them. It's going to be one extreme or the other. They're either going to slap us, or we're going to capitalise on what's gone on, and we're going to grind out a result. I don't think it'll be pretty either way. We'll either get slapped or we'll sneak over the line.
Yeah, I think I can't imagine it being a great game. I think we are going to make it awkward for them, which is a real shame, because it's like is this the first time we've actually played for a Saturday evening game? Feels like it must be the first time in a while.
At home, yeah, I think we may have done one at Newcastle away.
Yeah.
But I think at home it's the last one I can remember of a Saturday night, which I think it's going to be. I had a text earlier and was like, what time are we going uptown? And someone suggested 12:30. I was like, what? It's a 7:30 kickoff, mate. Come on. I want to make it.
Yeah. I mean, I remember us playing. We did have a game against Arsenal whenever Guedes was playing against them under
Lars.
Yeah, it might have been under Lars or just after Lars left.
Oh, it was that first game after he left, wasn't it?
Yeah. I know that was an evening game, but I can't remember if it was like on a Friday night or something.
Good old VAR.
Yeah. You know what? I think that might have been an evening kickoff, now I say it. Like on a Saturday. Without checking, I mean. but either way, it's not been a while. I do like the idea of them. I mean, I'm a big fan of sort of slightly different kickoff times as well.
It's just mulling you under the lights. It's
exactly. Like, it looks beautiful. It's a Jack. You know, I'm sure every fan says it. I think there's something about because of the colours of Wolves, it looks so much cooler.
Yeah, it's just everything. Like it's mulling you. It's in the city. It's kind of. It's not like one of these stadiums that's out in the middle of nowhere. So everyone can go into town and then make their way there, and it's just like becomes a full day event, and everyone gets buzzing. And I'm just hoping we make some noise. That's been the most disappointing part of the season.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, we've got real potential for the season to end in a bit of a damp squid. Yeah. And, you know, the way I kind of look at it is we've got Arsenal, Man City and Liverpool. Now, on paper, it doesn't look great. But if we can get something out of one of those games...
We'll take points off one of them. I don't know which one.
Yeah. I just want us to end it like, you know, with a little bit of heart. I know I've seen sort of fans, Stu, saying we won't get any points until the end of the season now. And like, really? I mean, like, fucking hell. Like, we have still got like Bournemouth and bloody Luton to play still. Like,
it's the start of a big week for us at home on Saturday. It's the start of a big week. Like, we've got 3 home games in 7 days. Like, we need to put in a performance. And that may be a loss, but we need to put a performance in there and not just roll over.
Like, make Arsenal work for it. Yeah. That's all I want. Just make them, you know, have that ugly win and go, you know, fair play. But this Wolves team have battered us for 90 minutes and we've managed to scrape through it and, you know, rekindle our title charge. I'd rather have that than, you know, oh, it's 2-0 after 20 minutes and then, you know, they just pass it around for the rest of the game because... You know, it's not how we want it, is it? So, it's going to be an interesting... I think it is going to be an interesting game. I mean, looking at some of the other games at the weekend, you've got Luton-Brentford. So, again, interesting clash at the bottom of the table. Again, also, you've got Sheffield United-Burnley in the Wooden Spoon competition. Everton-Forest as well on Sunday. So, you've got, some real... decisive games at the bottom of the table, as well as Palace, West Ham, Fulham, Liverpool and Villa against Bournemouth as well. So I wouldn't describe it as the best round of fixtures ever, if you want my honest opinion, but I think there's going to be some really decisive games, particularly at the bottom of the table.
Yeah, 100%. There's some spicy ones in there. But you've also got FA Cup semi-finals this weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Which I'm not bitter about.
I didn't have to cancel any hotels or anything.
it is like what could have been.
Yeah.
Because we could just think, like, we'd have been sitting here having this conversation, being like, oh, you know, Wang's probably fit enough to start.
We've got to be United.
Yeah, we can do this. If
that was the case, say we went through, these players will probably, knowing our luck, would probably have long-term injuries and wouldn't be nowhere near the squad.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Almost certainly we've been looking at a, you know, Tom King playing in as an auxiliary false nine.
Get the nine.
Before the end of the season, Dean, I'm sure it's going to happen.
We need to see at least once.
Like how David James went up from that one time. Just something like that. That's all we want. I mean, again, you know, looking at the table, I mean, I've not included the last sort of 6-7 places because ultimately Wolves can only really finish 13th and below. I've still got a good chance of making it into the top half of the league. I mean, Chelsea seem to have found a bit of something. And obviously, they've got a couple of games in hand on a few teams and only one game in hand on Wolves and 4 points above us. So they're becoming further and further out of reach. But, you know, with West Ham still in Europe, they're playing tonight. I think they're still winning as well, you know.
Yeah, actually, Arsenal have got Chelsea on Tuesday. So they Arteta may be thinking about that as well in our game. Short term around. He's played, they'd have played like, what, 4 games in like 12 days?
Yeah, they've played a lot recently. Yeah. So yeah, that'll be interesting as well. So I think it's still going to be tight. I think if we can, look, considering where we were at the start of the season, if we finish 11th, it ain't the end of the world, is it? You just want to make sure we're finishing on a high. Right, fellas, couple of questions. This is, again, as with all quizzes, this is either going to go fantastic or it's going to end in an absolute bonfire. So we'll see where we end up. And you know what's great about it? Because I had some ideas while watching the football last night. None of them are cohesive, I'll be brutally honest. So usually it's like, oh, we could do this or this or this. I've gone, yeah, we can do. So I've done three separate types of ideas. So forgive me, but it's going to, variety is the spice of life, isn't it? So your first question, guys, can you name the two players who have played for both Wolves and Arsenal in the Premier League?
Oleg Luzhny.
Yes.
And... oh, I know we had him on loan. Ali Adier?
No, I think you're going to register yourself. Do you want me to tell you?
Frimpong.
Yes. It was. It was Frimpong played a couple of, barely actually any games for Arsenal when it kind of came down to it in the end. It wasn't that many. And even though his loan spell at Wolves, we hardly knew you, did we? Like, it just, I mean, he seemed to have like this cult status, didn't he? And it was a real shame how his kind of career transpired, because he was only 31, 32 and he retired.
Yeah.
Gosh, 2017. And like, he's got this sort of such a big reputation still for so many like Wolves fans.
Yeah.
I think he played like five games for us.
It was all the stuff that came with him, though, wasn't
it? Yeah. Like, it was just a bit mad. And like, he, you know, again, came through Arsenal. His best mates were Jack Wilshere, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Six games for Arsenal.
Crazy.
Like, it ain't. It's just. And I mean, Oleg Luzhny, for a long time, I ranked as one of my, you know, worst ever Wolves players. I mean, Tom, I appreciate it's probably before your time. He was so slow.
He made Dawson look like Usain Bolt.
Yeah, if you look at images of him, he was just like a kind of a block of a person.
Yeah,
like he was very kind of square, and I don't remember him particularly playing for Arsenal. I'll be honest. I remember him kind of coming to Wolves, and obviously, you know, it was basically a choice of either him at right back or Dennis Irwin, who is in his late 30s at that point. Yeah. And I just remember how slow we looked. Although, for the YouTube listeners, of course, that is a gorgeous training jumper.
Oh, I was just about to say that. I really rate that jumper.
That is like, oh, just, I don't, that, yeah, there's a nostalgia about that, but that is a, that is a good training jumper, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm happy with that. Okay, so my,
I know that you're partial to a jumper, Rich.
I know, thank you. I've gone through the police today. As I mentioned beforehand, I've been in training all day, so I am wearing my... this is casual wear. This is my casual wear.
The corporate quarter zip.
Oh, it is. It is the corporate quarter.
Yeah, I was trying to wrong.
No, exactly. I'm like, I'm in and out of meetings again tomorrow. And I'm like, I was trying to have a look through. It's like, are my meetings socially acceptable for me to, you know, shirt and the quarter zip? Yeah. Not quite sure, to be honest. Although I did get, digressing here. I did go for a meeting the other day, and he looked at me and went, "You look like you're dressed like you could work here." I was like, "Okay, I reckon you could sell." I was going to say what I sold, what they sold, but I'll kind of give the game away probably. I was like, "Try to work if that's a, if you're complimenting my style of dress suit, it's
never good to say you look like a salesman."
Yeah, you know, particularly when I actually sell. It's not necessarily what I'm going for.
You want to be a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Exactly. I don't want to kind of give the illusion I sell for a living.
Yeah, exactly.
Despite me being a cold, heartless salesman. But if you are interested, you can find me on LinkedIn if you want a conversation. No. I'm very loyal to my employer. But if you want to call it, no, I need to stop before I get myself in trouble. So I, okay. So, fellas, who is this next player? Now, I'm going to give you some clues of who it might be. So, first clue is I played for 18 clubs throughout my professional career.
Okay. 18 clubs.
18, I know. These clubs include Petroleum Authority of Thailand, Rayong Football Club, Masters Football, and Barnsley. Nice mix, isn't it? In 2002, I became just the fourth player to make the switch from Arsenal to Spurs. Okay. I scored one goal in a loan spell for Wolves before signing permanently and not scoring again in Old Gold. Okay. Last but not least, I made most of my club appearances for Wolves and Toronto. This is an advertisement from BetterHelp Therapy Online. We all carry different stresses, big and small. It could be from work, stuff going on at home, or just from supporting a football team you flatter to deceive, and as the bedsheets have always said, let us down. We often bottle up these stresses and try and keep a lid on them, but when you do that, it can start to affect you negatively. That's where therapy comes in. It gives you a place to get these things off your chest, get down to root cause, and figure out how to work through what's weighing you down. Therapy is there to help develop positive coping skills. It's not just for people who have experienced major trauma. It's about empowering you to be the best version of yourself. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, why not look and give BetterHelp a try? It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible and suited to your schedule. With over 1,000 therapists in the UK already, BetterHelp can provide access to mental health professionals with a wide variety of expertise in mental health. Our listeners can get 10% off their first month using the code betterhelp.com/wanderers. That's betterhelp.com/wanderers. Let's get back to the show.
Wow,
that is a toughie, and I think you're going to kick yourself. Probably D more than Tom. I can forgive Tom. I think, you know what, remind me, he was like one of the first players to really get involved in podcasts and to really kind of drive a lot of media stuff in the early sort of 2010s, which is not too much of a clue, I appreciate, because if you ain't getting in from that, yeah.
The Arsenal Spurs.
I know.
I should get that.
You know what? I'll give you a bit more of a hint. He played one league game for Arsenal before going to Spurs. Played about a season for Spurs. Also, then fell out of the picture and then had a loan spell at Wolves the second half of the season, then joined us on a free for a year or so before going on an absolute trail of a career. It was wild, his career.
I haven't got a clue. I'm lost.
Okay. I will tell you who it is, and then I'm going to read out the clubs he played for. It was Rowan Ricketts.
Oh, I should have got that from Toronto.
Yeah, idiot. I know.
Idiot.
I thought that was going to be the one which gave it away. Mm. But yeah, he played in... Yeah, it was quite an interesting one, how he... played like one game for Arsenal and then, decided to make the switch to Spurs, which doesn't usually happen. But, yeah, started his career at Arsenal, one league game, then played 30-odd games for Spurs, had loan spells at Coventry, joined Wolves on loan for the second half of the season, played 7 games, scored 1 goal, played for Wolves for 2 seasons. He had a loan spell with QPR for the second half of the 6-7 season. Then he had a year with Barnsley, a year with Toronto, then a couple of very hard to pronounce teams. I'm going in Hungary, which so it was right. Let's give this a go. Diogushnor, VTK, we'll go for.
Jota's fell asleep.
I know, that was a tough one. Yeah. Dacia Sinisau, who played Moldova. Then he played for SV Wilhelmshaven in Germany before going to Shamrock Rovers for a year. Then Exeter, then a team called Dempo in India. Then to Quevedo in Ecuador's second division. Then, as I mentioned earlier, the PTT Rayong, the Petroleum Authority of Thailand, Rayong Football Club, before playing for Eastern Sports Club in Hong Kong. Then Abahana Limited Dhaka in Bangladesh, which I believe he got sacked / suspended from for sort of tweeting about his frustrations. And then he made the brave move, as I mentioned, from, you know, what did he do? Dempo was, so he went India, Hong Kong, Thailand. So India, Ecuador, Thailand, Hong Kong, Bangladesh. And do you know where he went next on his gap year?
Go on.
Leatherhead.
Nice.
As you do. And then he sort of rounded off his career for a team called Masters Football Academy, who were semi-pro Canadian.
If you'd have said friend of the pod, I'd have got it straight away.
I know. You know what? I thought, do I just include it? Because he has been on this show. That's what I mentioned about, oh, yeah, he was really into podcasts.
I failed miserably.
I know. Right. Last one. See if you can redeem yourselves, although you did well on the first one. So next one, and it's a quiz question as old as time and nice and easy for us, but can you guess the player from their senior career? Again, you'll have noticed the theme, because for the audio listeners, they started at Arsenal before having loan spells at Celtic, West Ham and Wolves, before playing for Middlesbrough, Lorient, Salau, then Muafa, and then back to Lorient to finish off his career.
Have I already said the person's name?
You actually have, yeah.
Yeah, it's Ali Adier, isn't it?
It is, yeah. When you said it earlier, for
Dean has absolutely carried me here.
Yeah. Mate, purely due to age, mate. No, it's not knowledge.
I was going to say this was an age one, Tom. I'm sorry, because when I did a couple of quiz questions on Forest last week, and you know, it was quite cool because, you know, we had Josh, who's like 2021, and Dave, who's a Forest fan, who's like in his 50s. So I was like, right, there's actually been, obviously there's like quite a few players at the moment who have played for both teams.
Yeah.
But actually, because we're relatively near to them in the grand scheme of things, we've played in the same divisions quite a lot as well. Or we've had times where, you know, they were in League One for a bit, we were doing all right. So actually there was a load of players who had kind of, you know, had a loan, like Grant Holt. We had him on loan. They had him for three seasons about 15 years ago. And like, no wonder Dave couldn't bloody remember that lump of a man.
Who hasn't Grant Holt played for?
Yes. Oh, he had a similar, you know, one CV. CV to Rowan Ricketts without the, you know, backpacking across Southeast Asia. And, you know, I think I had a quit, you know, when I was looking, you know, there's not that many players who have played for both Wolves and Arsenal in kind of the modern era. And there's players like, so I think, if who else there was, you have Emi Martinez, of course, who didn't get sent off tonight. The reason being for that, and I didn't know this, was because cards get wiped out before a penalty shootout.
Right, okay.
So he'd have had to have been double a dick to actually get himself sent off.
Which isn't really behind the realms of possibility for Emi Martinez.
I'll be honest, I had a brief sort of flick up on my phone from a few messages and saw one of them and thought, yeah, he was probably sort of teetering on the edge of managing to get a second booking. We'll see about that. Who else did I have in my backup list? Jermaine Pennant.
Oh, Pennant. What a tool he is, by the way.
I know, he's
What you could have done is who's one of his little things, because I've appeared on Jeremy Kyle.
Yes. Yes.
That would be very niche.
I was going to say it was either that or the infamous story of when he like left his car. He left it in Spain, I think, or he left it when he went to Spain and then forgot about it. As you do, like racked up like a load of tickets. I think it ended up just getting absolutely destroyed by the end of it, because it was just like just derelict by the end. So yeah, it's not exactly a great stock, should we say, Jermaine Pennant. It's not like but anyway, right, let's wrap up this. So guys, let's have your score predictions for Saturday night.
Go on, Tom.
2-1 Wolves. Or like last 10 minutes, last minute win, I think, snatch and grab.
Oh, nice.
1-0 to Wolves, and Santi Bueno will score a header.
I'm liking this. I'm gonna go, you know what? Let's keep the positivity going. I'm gonna go for 1-0 Wolves. And yeah, you know, I'm gonna go for Cunha.
A few people will be crying about those predictions, Stu.
Yeah, but it's fine. Hey, look, if you can't be optimistic 2 days before the game, when can you be optimistic?
Why go?
Yeah, just enjoy it. It's going to be fun. Like, what's the worst that's going to happen? We're going to lose. So let's, you know, what's the best going to happen? We're going to win. So let's hope for the best and mentally prepare for the worst. Eh? But before we do wrap up, guys, big news in the Fancast. You'll have seen, hopefully, on our social medias, we are playing another charity football match this year. It's going to be on Friday, the 24th of May, 5 p.m. kickoff. We are currently raffling off a couple of places to play at Molineux. So if it's your dream, if it's something you know, want to raise a bit of money for charity at the same time, you need to be over 18 to get involved. If you would like to put in a bid, all you need to do is email your name and how much you're looking to bid to wolvesfootballfancast@gmail.com. But it's hopefully going to be kind of all confirmed by, you know, you need to get your bid in by Sunday evening, 5 p.m. So, you know, if you're if Wolves do well on Saturday, and you go, you know what, let's hit town. And, you know, just remember when you listen to the podcast afterwards, go, you know, I might be worth a gamble. Who knows? Not that I condone gambling while under the influence of drink. But, hey, it could be good for charity. So, who knows? So definitely get involved. As I say, it's in about 6 weeks' time as well. And, you know, we'll be dropping out some more stuff about the match in the car for coming weeks as well. So keep your eyes peeled on it.
And if you are unfit at the moment and you're concerned about running around for the duration of the game, don't worry, because everyone that's playing, including me, I'm very unfit. So don't let that put you off if you think it's going to be to some impeccable level. It's not. It's charity. It's just going to be a group of guys just enjoying it, raising some good money and having a laugh. It's not going to be that serious.
No, exactly. I mean, you
until someone gets double footed.
Yeah, until we get to the 45-minute mark. But no, it's gonna say it's an hour-long game, guys. I say all for a good cause. Hopefully, we'll have a good laugh as well along the way. So, yeah, we'll keep you updated on it. But yeah, if you're looking to get involved, if you've got any ideas in terms of how you think you can support it as well, you know, always open as well. So yeah, hopefully we can bring you some fun stuff in the next couple of weeks as well. Make sure, as I say, to keep up to date with all things Wolves Fancast at Wolves Fancast on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram and YouTube, of course. And you know, make sure if you're not ready to like, share and subscribe. Until next time, where we'll be reviewing the Arsenal game and also talking a little bit about Bournemouth in the week, it's goodbye from Dean.
See you later, everyone.
It's goodbye from Tom.
See you later.
And it's goodbye for me. See you next time.